We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Evan Wezer, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Dalid. We're in the middle of paragraph Yud Tes. We're up to the sub-paragraph on page 80 on the left-hand side towards the bottom. The bottom paragraph, which begins with the words V'zeh Vayar Vayorot Slikrosam. This halacha, once again, is based on chapter 24 in Likutei Moran, which is very, very special. This chapter on Likutei Moran begins with the topic of performing mitzvahs with simcha and what's accomplished when a person does that. We mentioned that the Arizal said that he got to his level through doing mitzvahs besimcha. It's a very, very big deal. And in this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbein Azal begins with that and shows where that can take a person. Now, if a person is zeicha to perform mitzvahs, whatever, every mitzvah, learning Torah, davening, putting on tefillin, with simcha, that starts a train, which starts off by going down into the places of tumah, into the sitrachra, and finding holy sparks and holy souls that are trapped in there, and helping release them and elevate them and return them to the domain of holiness. And then from there, from the ground floor in holiness, which is the Malchus, climbing the ladder, going up from level to level, to Netzach Yisoid, to Chesed Gvura Tiferes, to Chochma Bin Adas, and then reaching up past that to the infinite light of Hashem. And in the process of trying to go from Chochma Bin Adas, from the Meichin, to the infinite light, which we can't hold on to, we can touch it for a moment, but when we try to jump up to it, we come back down. In that process of touching it and coming back down, Rabbein Azal shows there from the Sifrei Kabbalah, from the Zohar Kodesh, that that causes the three parts of the brain to interact with each other and to generate nine heicholim. That's the terminology used in the Zohar Kodesh. Nine special castles through which a Jew receives the infinite light of Hashem, through which a person is able to get whatever they can and the most they can from this of the highest level understanding of Hashem that the person can achieve. And then Rabbein Azal said that once a person accomplishes that, they must come back down. And when they do come back down from having achieved such elevation, if it was done properly, they bring down with them a flow of shefa, a flow of sustenance that comes in the form of ruchnius, spirituality, and gashmius, parnasa, health, marriage, children, everything. This is basically what's discussed in that chapter on Likutei Moran. And we've gone through a major halacha in Likutei Halachos that expounded on it a lot. In the last part, in the previous year, Rav Nosson Zal began discussing the story where Hashem visits Avraham Avinu on the third day after his bris milah, and the interaction that takes place between Hashem and Avraham Avinu and the three angels that come and visit him. And Rav Nosson Zal showed how in the words of that story is included all the concepts of that chapter on Likutei Moran. And now he's putting the finishing touches on it. V'zeh, and this is why the Pasuk tells us there, Vayar, that Avraham Avinu saw those three people, Vayorotz likrosam, and he ran towards them, even though he was feeling tremendous pain. He was on the third day after a bris milah at the age of 99 years old. Avraham Avinu's love and respect for Hashem was such that when he did a mitzvah, he didn't walk. He didn't walk to shul. He didn't walk to learn Torah. He ran. It says, Vayorotz likrosam. He ran towards them. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ze bechinas zrizus v'simcha. Running is a display of speed. You know, a person who does things with speed, with zealousness, and with happiness. If a person's not happy, when a person's sad or depressed, they don't run. Happiness is an expression when somebody's excited about something and really happy about it, they run for it. Ki zrizus hu bechina simcha, because we know that zealousness is a display of happiness. Kamuvon Bahatoira Aricha Sapayim, as Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this in chapter 155 in Likutei Moran. Ukimoisham Rabbeinu Zal, and as we find in the words of the Gemara tells us, Mitzvah Lorutz Lebeis HaKnesses Viledvar Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for a Jew to run to shul. When a person is going to shul, don't walk, don't schlep, run. Vilidvar mitzvah, and to do, to perform any mitzvah. Kemoi shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Somachti ba'oimrim li beis Hashem nelech. I was happy when they said to me, let's go to the house of Hashem. So we see again that the rabbis understood that the word happy, the happiness is expressed by a person running to do it. When a person is in the house, and let's say they want to eat something, and they tell their wife, can I please have a drink? Or can I have something? If the wife says, I'll get to it, I'll get around to it, or why don't you get it yourself? Or if you see her going very slowly about it, you know she's not excited to do it. If a wife jumps to do it, we know that I'm happy. And the person says, what are you jumping for? No, are you kidding? I'm happy to serve you. I'm happy to get, this is my joy and happiness. Now watch how Rav Nosson Zal explains this and relates this exactly how we should apply this to ourselves. Ki mi shemistakel al tachlisoi be'emes. Because a person who looks at his future honestly, he analyzes what life is really all about, and he knows that he's only in this physical world temporarily, and this is just a preparation for an eternal future, which is going to be defined by how many mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim you did in this world. That's going to define your eternity. A person who looks at that honestly, bevadai, kishemagia leilich lebeis haknesses, so ledvar mitzvah, then most definitely, when that person is going to shul or going to perform any mitzvah, who rots besimcha gedoyla ubezrizas godo, that person runs with tremendous happiness and excitement and with tremendous zealousness. Somebody calls you and says, guess what? You just won the lottery. It's $280 million. Go out of your house, turn right, three blocks down, that building in the middle of the street, go there, it's waiting for you. The briefcases are waiting for you. How soon are you going to be there? The guy says, how soon can you count to one? That's how soon I'm going to be there. Person slams down, runs out the door, right? That's the attitude. A Jew who is honest. We're not talking about a mikubal. We're not talking about the biggest genius. A Jew who is honest about his Yiddishkeit and about his life. If you really believe in Hashem and you believe that $1 billion is a joke compared to the reward for a mitzvah, the Gemara says, Schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka, that Fort Knox and all the other places where they print money and they store money, they don't have anywhere near enough to pay a Jew for one mitzvah. If a Jew believes that, if a Jew believes the value of a mitzvah, then you're going to run and you're going to be excited. Every time you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, there's nothing more exciting in your life. Ki rak zeh, because only this, only the mitzvahs are our life and our hope, our eternal hope. Our eternal life and eternal hope are not based on how much health food we eat or health food we don't eat, how many desserts we have or desserts we don't. It depends on how many mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim we do. The chutz mizeh, and other than mitzvahs and Torah and serving Hashem, hakoil hevel havolim. Everything else is nonsense. It's not a big deal. It's not of major, major importance. Ki lo yishor klum mishum davar. Because nothing whatsoever is going to remain from everything else that you're involved in this world. Lo yishirus, not from your wealth. If you acquired a lot of money, if you own real estate, if you have gold, if you have all of those things, nothing is going to remain of it when you leave. It's either, Rabbeinu Zal says, it's either they separate the wealth from the person or they separate the person from the wealth. The two never remain together permanently. One of them leaves the other one. And also from the suffering of the poverty and everything, all of that is going to go away at one point. When a person dies, it's all forgotten. And also from all the desires, all the materialistic desires that a person has. I want to go to a lot of different restaurants. I want to try the different wine. Or I tasted this wine. I tasted that wine. All the taivas, the gash, the kina, and the jealousies, ukpeda, and all the things that people got angry at and upset at. All of that's going to go away. All of it is going to evaporate. Nothing remains of it. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, ki loy v'moyso yikach hakol. Because when a person dies, they don't take all of that with them. Uchsiv, and there's another pasuk that says, gam ahavosam, gam kinosam, gam sinosam, kvar avoda. The things they liked, and the things they were jealous about, and the people they hated, all of that disappeared. When a person dies, all of that is gone. So that how important is it? How significant is it? V'lo yishoyer, the only thing that remains with a person is rak ma sheyachtoif bechol pam ezetoiv, is the good things that he was privileged to grab in this world while he was here. Leilech lebeis haknesses ulebeis hamedrash, to go to shul, to go to a place of learning. V'lasoi says a mitzvah, to perform a mitzvah, whatever it is. V'alkein, and therefore, mevadai mechuyev kol echod lorutz bezrizus v'simcha gedoyla ledvar mitzvah. Every single Jew who is real, who believes in Hashem, is required to run with speed and with excitement when it comes to doing a mitzvah. And the more that the person realizes how far he is from Hashem and how much he's lacking in knowledge of Hashem, in mitzvahs and everything, that person has to be even more excited and more happy every time he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Machma shegam shehu gamhu, because imagine even somebody like me, sherochoik kol kach, who is so far from Hashem, I'm so far from holiness, I'm so far from zoiche gam kein lasis mitzvah. I am being permitted to come to shul. They're letting me come to shul. They're letting me put on tefillin. They're letting me build a sukkah. Imagine how lucky I am. V'zeh bechinas. This is why Rashi says on the word vayar that Avram Avinu saw Pirush Rashi vehaven. He understood shehaven hetev. He understood very well vehistakel alatachlis beemis. He was looking at the future, at the real future. Vayidezer, and as a result of that, vayorot slikrosam. He ran to those people to see if he could invite them into his house to perform the mitzvah of having guests. Ze bechinas simchas hamitzvah. This is an expression, this is the happiness of a mitzvah. Not the mitzvah, the joy of the mitzvah. Shayidei ze ikr alias hakedusha min haklipois. Because it's this ingredient of happiness and excitement. When a person is happy and excited about performing a mitzvah, that's what makes it possible to extract holiness that has fallen into the klipos, that's in the hands of the satan, the etzara, the tumah, ad shezoichen la'alois ba'aliyos hanal. And it starts that process of the person going up, climbing up the ladder of holiness, ad shebo'en lebechinas hasogas hanal, until the person comes to the level of understanding the infinite light of Hashem, on the level of moti v'lay moti through the nine hecholim that we spoke about. Just to deviate for a moment, again, we have a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Kisavoy, where the pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy is where one of the two places where Hashem describes all the curses and sicknesses and suffering that's going to come upon the Jewish people when we really cross a couple of red lines, when we get Hashem really, really upset at us, and it lists all the curses and illnesses and everything. And then after all of it, it says, you know why all of this is going to happen to you? Tachas asher lo yavadeto es Hashem alekecha, because you did not serve Hashem. And it doesn't stop there. It says, besimcha, with happiness, ubetuv leivav, and with good-hearted feeling, meroiv koil, from all the plentifulness and all the goodness that Hashem gave you. So here again, the Torah says, it's not enough to serve Hashem. It's not enough to learn Torah. It's when a person does it with happiness, there are certain things that are accomplished that cannot be accomplished if a person's doing the same mitzvah, but without happiness, without the excitement, without the varmkeit, the warmth, the juice that's in it. We know that Reb Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's closest student, grew up in a house that was not Hasidic, that was sort of anti-Hasidic. And the father-in-law, who took him as a son-in-law, was one of the top rabbis in the world at that time. Reb David Zvi Auerbach, Zichron Levracha, he was called the great Reb David Zvi, very well known, who was anti-Hasidus, major. He had certain experiences which caused him to feel very much against Hasidim, and he taught his family, he actually would lecture them on a daily basis about how to stay away from Hasidim and Hasidus. This is how Reb Nosson Zal was brought up, and at a certain point in his life, he had a chavrusa, somebody he studied with, for an entire winter, and the entire winter they got into arguments about this topic, and Reb Nosson Zal says until his chavrusa convinced him that he was wrong, that Reb Nosson Zal was mistaken in his views about Hasidim and Hasidus. And Reb Nosson Zal says he started changing and improving certain things in his life. And then he went searching for 6 years among the leading giants of Hasidus at that time until he came to Rabbi Nachman and chose him as his Rebbe, etc., etc. Reb Nosson Zal, or one of his students, at one point in time, when they want to define the difference between a chassid and a non-chassid, he compares it to a knish. I don't know how many of you are from Brooklyn or from the United States or other places. In New York, they call it a knish. In Israel, you could compare it to a bereka or something like that. It's a food that's made from potatoes and onions and salt and pepper, and they put a layer of dough around it, and it's something that could be very tasty and delicious when it's fresh, hot, and delicious. When it's hot, when it's warm, it's something that's enjoyable to eat. If anybody ever ate a cold knish straight out of the fridge, or cold berekas, they know what it tastes like. Again, it's got the potatoes in it, it's got the pepper, and so it's got all the ingredients, but boy, it don't taste that good. And Reb Nosson Zal was saying that's the difference between a chassid, a person who's a real chassid, and a person who's not. A chassid is a hot knish, and the non-chassid is, he's doing the same, putting on the same tzitzis and tefillin and everything, but without the heat, no heat, it's cold. It don't taste the same at all. It's a different thing completely.